Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 sound design lesson, where we're taking an old-school drum and bass impact and turning it into something that still hits with modern punch, but keeps that dusty, warped soul intact. Now, when I say impact, I don't mean just a random one-shot sitting in the track for decoration. In drum and bass, impacts do real work. They can announce the start of an 8-bar phrase, slam in before a drop switch, answer the bass line, or act like a little cinematic kick in the door right before the energy changes. And the magic here is this: a great DNB impact usually isn't just one sound, it's a combination of things. You want a sharp transient, some low-end weight, a mid-range bark or metallic bite, and a bit of imperfect texture, so it feels like it came from a sampler, a tape machine, or a gritty old break. That's the vibe we're after. The big idea in this lesson is not to polish the character away. We're not trying to sterilize it. We're shaping it so it slams properly on modern systems, whether that's club speakers, headphones, car systems, or streamed playback. So yes, we want old-school soul, but we also want the impact to feel tight, focused, and dangerous. Let's start with the source material. Choose something with attitude. That could be a chopped old break hit, a vinyl-style stab, a short brass stab, a tom hit, or even a resampled drum and bass punch from one of your own projects. The key is character. Don't worry if it's not pristine. In fact, a little roughness is usually better here. Drag that source into an audio track and trim it down to a short hit, usually somewhere around 100 to 400 milliseconds. That gives you enough tail to feel musical, but not so much that it muddies up the next kick or bass note. If you're starting from a break, listen for a slice with a snare transient, a kick body, a bit of room noise, or even a natural wobble in pitch. Those little imperfections are exactly what give old-school impacts their movement. Now let's talk warping, because this is where a lot of the personality comes from. Open the sample in clip view and use warp with intention. Don't think of warping as just a correction tool. Think of it as a character-shaping tool. For this style, you often want to exaggerate the weirdness, not remove it. If the source is more rhythmic and break-based, try beats. If it's tonal and you want controlled stretching, Complex Pro can work well. If you want that classic sampler-style pitch behavior, Repitch is a great choice. And if you want a more grainy, smeared texture, Texture can add a nice modern edge. Try pitching the sample down by 3 to 7 semitones. That usually gives you a darker, heavier impact. If the tail feels too tidy, nudge the warp markers a little so it drags late by a few milliseconds. That tiny delay can bring back that lazy jungle feel. But keep your ears on the transient. If the front edge gets soft or floppy, you've gone too far. The transient still needs to punch. A good rule here: if the warp is making it rigid, you've probably lost the soul. If it's making it messy in a bad way, back off. We want control damage. Next, we're going to build a three-layer impact inside an audio effect rack. This is where things start to get powerful. Group the sound into a rack and create three chains, one for transient, one for body, and one for grit or air. Duplicate the source into all three chains, then process each one differently. This is a really practical way to separate the job of each part of the sound. On the transient chain, use a Q8 and high pass it somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz, so it isn't fighting the low end. Then add a little saturator, maybe 2 to 5 dB of drive, and a touch of drum bus if you want the front edge to pop a little more. Keep this chain focused on attack. On the body chain, you can use simpler or sampler if you want more control or just shape the audio directly with EQ. If the sound needs more weight, try a gentle boost around 80 to 120 Hz, but be careful not to let this chain become a sub-monster. We want body, not mud. On the grit chain, use auto filter with a band pass or high pass shape, then add a little redux for bit reduction or use saturator in a harder curve mode. This is where the old-school damage lives. Keep it subtle enough that you miss it when it's gone, but don't let it take over the whole sound. Use the rack's chain volumes and macro controls to balance everything. In general, the transient should lead, the body should sit a few dB below that, and the grit should be tucked in just enough to add attitude. This separation is really useful because it lets you preserve the vintage feel while keeping the impact clean enough to mix. Now let's shape the punch more directly. Drop drum bus onto the main impact group or the rack output and use it lightly. A drive setting in the 5 to 15% range can add density without crushing the life out of it. A little crunch can help too, but keep it under control. The transient control is especially useful here. If you need more front-end snap, that is often a better move than just boosting EQ. After that, saturator can add a little extra modern density. A few dB of drive, soft clip turned on, and output compensated so you're not just fooling yourself with louder playback. That's a really important point. Always level match when you're making decisions, because louder almost always sounds better until you compare properly. If you want a slightly rougher top, especially for darker neuro-adjacent or roller-style material, a tiny bit of erosion on the grit layer can add a nice high mid-bite. Again, keep it subtle. We're not trying to turn the hit into static, we're adding texture. Now for the low end, which is where a lot of impacts fall apart in context. A sound can feel massive when soloed, but if it fights the kick and bass, it's not doing the job. Use EQ8 to carve the low end with discipline. High pass the top layers somewhere between 120 and 200 Hz. If there's a boxy area around 200 to 400 Hz, pull that down a bit. And if there's a harsh click in the 3 to 6 kHz range, tame it gently. If you want real sub weight, consider making a separate short sub hit with operator. Use a sine wave, trigger it at the same moment as the impact and keep the envelope short, around 120 to 250 milliseconds. Tune it to the root note of the track or maybe the fifth if that works musically. Keep it mono and keep it simple. In drum and bass, sub is structural. It's not just decoration. Once the core sound is working, it's time to bring in movement. Resample the rack to audio. This is where the hit starts to become yours. Record it in context, then drag that recording back into a new track. Now you've got a version that's committed, musical, and ready for further shaping. From there, you can do things like reverse the tail of one hit for a transition, automate pitch downward by 1 to 3 semitones into the impact, or sweep an auto filter slightly open and closed across a bar. You can also use reverb sends, but I'd suggest being selective. Maybe just one impact every 8 bars gets the bigger reverb treatment. That way the space feels intentional instead of washed out. A really effective DNB trick is to create a two-part impact. Let the first hit land dry and hard, then add a second layer a few milliseconds later or on a very short delay, with a more warpy tail. That gives you the sensation of a front punch followed by a little aftershock. It's a great way to get motion without cluttering the transient. Now think like an arranger, because the sound is only half the story. Place the impact inside an actual section of music. For example, in a 16-bar intro, you might use a filtered impact on bar 8. At the drop, use the full weight version on the first downbeat, then let the bass answer it. On a switch-up, bring the hit back with less tail so there's room for drum edits. And if you're building a second drop, maybe use a dirtier, slightly different pitch version so it feels like the energy has evolved. This is important. Don't design the impact in isolation. Design it for the phrase. A sound that works in the arrangement is always more valuable than one that just sounds impressive soloed. Also, keep your intro and outro DJ friendly. Start with filtered or shortened versions. Save the full version for the drop, and leave enough room for the kick and snare pattern to breathe. The best impacts in drum and bass feel like they belong to the arrangement, not like they're sitting on top of it. Now let's check stereo and mono behavior, because this is where things can get sneaky. Use utility on the impact group and check the width. Keep the core transient and low-end mono compatible. You can allow width in the upper layers, but the weight needs to stay centered. If the sound falls apart in mono, the main body is probably too dependent on stereo effects. And if the low mid area gets crowded, reduce the body chain volume before you start over re-king everything. Also, listen for clashes around 2.5 to 5 kHz if the impact is fighting hats or a re-space. A small cut there can make the whole mix feel more open without killing the character. A few coach style reminders here. Think in envelopes, not just effects. For impacts, the first 200 milliseconds matter more than most plugin choices. If it feels weak, check the amplitude shape first. Also, if your source already has a strong transient, don't overdo transient enhancers. Often, a little gain staging and light saturation is enough. And always gain stage each layer before the chain, because if one layer is too hot, your processing decisions become misleading fast. Another really useful approach is to map macros to things you'll actually want to tweak while writing. For example, layer balance, transient amount, low-end amount, grid amount, reverb send, and pitch shift. That turns the rack into a performance tool, not just a polished preset. Let's talk about common mistakes for a moment. One is making the impact too long. If it eats the bar and fights the bass line, trim it back or shorten the envelope on any synth-based layer. Another is over-warping the sample, which can make the transient facey or soft. If that happens, use fewer warp markers or switch warp mode. And if the sound needs dirt, resample it instead of stretching it endlessly. A lot of people also pile low end into every layer. Don't do that. Keep only one layer responsible for the real low end weight. High pass the others. And don't rely on reverb to create body. Shape the actual amplitude and saturation first, then add a little space if needed. Now for a few higher level ideas you can use to level this up even more. You can create a ghost hit companion layer that sits very quietly behind the main hit. High pass it aggressively, add a short reverb, reduce the transients, and widen it slightly. That gives the impact a shadow without stealing attention. You can also detune duplicate layers by a few cents, one slightly up and one slightly down, to get that thicker sampler mass. Or split the impact into a front hit and an aftershock, with the front being dry and punchy, and the aftershock being warped, filtered, or metallic.